You don't owe anyone visitation time. You don't owe them a picture. You don't owe them a phone call. Like, your main job is taking care of you and your baby, especially if you're breastfeeding. You know, with that, you have to be able to be exposed a lot during those first couple of weeks. You're figuring it out, and you having that time to be able to breastfeed your baby is more important to your baby than your visitors. And that's like your main job now.
Hello, it's Layla, your mom friend, welcoming you to this week's episode of the Learning to Mom podcast. Here, I give you the scoop on all things pregnancy and birth, and I ask experts all of your gazillion first-time mom questions, from inductions to pelvic floor to C-section recovery. Let's dive into this week's episode. Hi, Jessica. Thanks so much for being here today. I want to just welcome you to the Learning to Mom podcast.
Thanks so much for reaching out and having me on today. I'm really excited.
I'm really pumped, and I know you have a lot to share. Before you kind of get into that, I would love for you to kind of introduce yourself, I guess, in your own words. Tell us a little bit about yourself sharing, I guess, what made you start empowering women to have positive postpartum experiences.
Currently, right now, I travel nurse in an RV with my family across the United States to different hospitals for about 3 months out of the time. So I see how different hospitals do things. But before I started doing that, I saw that there was a real lack of education inside the hospital. People came into the hospital thinking that they didn't really need to educate themselves before. They would learn everything that they were going to learn inside the hospital. And then I would see over and over again, patients not getting the care they deserve because they didn't know to ask questions. They didn't know that they had a say in things.
Yeah.
And so that made me want to start educating moms on social media and making sure that they knew what to expect and that they had every right to ask questions inside the hospital. And then I started travel nursing to say, well, how are other hospitals around the United States doing things? So I share all of that on social media. For moms with a different perspective of every hospital is a little different, but like your postpartum experience can be unique for you.
So awesome. And at the time of this recording, you just released your book. Tell us all about the book. I'm so excited for you.
So it's titled Once Baby's Here, because we learn a lot, you know, during pregnancy and laboring, but what about like once your baby's here, right? So Once Baby's Here, it talks about postpartum care, what's normal, what's not normal, what to expect, how you can advocate for yourself if you do have complications. It talks about newborn care. I mean, babies do weird things that are totally normal that freak parents out. So I want to make sure that you know about those things. And then it talks about bottle feeding and breastfeeding, has a whole section. Because getting a baby latch can be a lot harder than what some people think. And so it really breaks it down simply, like how to get latched. How do you know if your baby's getting enough? It has a section designated for the support person, because while I hope every support person reads the whole thing, it's full of a lot of information. They may not. So I have one specific section that's just how can they help support you the best? Because I've never heard a mom say, I had too much support postpartum. Like, people don't say that, right? And then the last two sections are normal questions that parents ask, like, what should I bring to the hospital? When am I going to go home? Like, all
yeah.
those like basic questions. How does the birth certificate work? I break it all down for you. And then the last section is really with the focus of empowering parents. Like, you have every say inside the hospital. You can ask questions. These are key words you can use in order to advocate for yourself and your baby inside the hospital. So it sums it all up inside of the book, Once Baby's Here, for parents.
And where can we all get this book?
So you can get it on Amazon. It's available as an ebook, paperback, hardcover, and I'm finishing getting it released as an audiobook. So when this is out, it should be out as an audiobook because everyone learns a little differently.
Especially in postpartum and you're, you know, just up at all time of the night. It is really nice listening to audiobooks instead. Have you been binging the Learning to Mom podcast, but still feel pretty overwhelmed and afraid that you're not going to have enough time to learn it all? If that's you, then you need to sign up for the Learning to Mom newsletter. The newsletter is going to de-stress you in your pregnancy by giving you even more support and prenatal information. The newsletter does not include things that you can get from our Instagram or podcast. If you're feeling overwhelmed in your pregnancy, if you don't know what questions to ask your doctor in your prenatal appointments, if you're scared to birth your baby, if you're afraid of the unknown of motherhood and looking for more support, then this newsletter is for you. Each week, you'll get a vital question to ask your doctor during your prenatal visits. In pregnancy news, like recalls on any products, medical news, or new product alerts, plus a lot more, but I don't want to spoil it for you. You'll just have to sign up to see for yourself. Sign up for the newsletter by clicking the link below in the show notes or heading to learningtomompodcast.com and clicking on the newsletter tab at the top of the website. Kind of getting into things here, Jessica, to someone who is about to have their first baby at the hospital, and they just really don't even know what happens. Just share some insight into, so you just delivered the baby, and then what happens those next 3 days before you get to head home?
Yeah. So after you deliver your baby, when you do deliver, whether it's a vaginal or a C-section, a lot of people are going to be in the room. And you'll notice after your baby's born, a lot of people leave the room. Typically your labor and delivery nurse and somebody for baby inside of the room with you. You stay over on labor and delivery, depending on hospital setup, but most of them are set up to where you stay on labor and delivery for about 2 hours. The labor and delivery nurse gets you up, cleans you, hopefully you go pee, all the things, and then they send you over to postpartum. And then you're over in postpartum, depending on if you are like a routinely healthy vaginal delivery, you stay over on postpartum for a day or so. And if you are a C-section, it may be like 2 or 3 days, and then you guys go home. The first day, you definitely have a lot of like those postpartum cramps, a lot more bleeding than you're used to. As long as you're not going through a pad an hour, though, it's normal. But when you haven't been bleeding your whole pregnancy and now you have a bunch of bleeding, it feels like a lot. So we're keep a close eye on your bleeding. Keep a close eye on making sure you're peeing and checking in with your pain to make sure your pain's okay for you. So the first couple days are a lot of recovery, a lot of resting as you can, but also getting up and moving is important for your body as well.
So you guys are coming in, I guess, how many times during the day, or how many so often?
Most hospitals have it on day shift. We have to do what we call hourly rounding. So we should come in like every hour, at least peek in on you like, hey, are you doing okay? Do you need anything? If we have to do vitals or assessments, we're due it then. Typically, you have to do one assessment a shift, and then you have to get vitals usually in between every 4 to 8 hours, depending on the patient and hospital. And then we also rub on your belly. We're checking your uterus postpartum. So your uterus postpartum has a really important role. It's that muscle that just got used contracting and pushing a baby out, or if you had a C-section, got cut open. And we want to make sure that it's nice and tight. It controls your bleeding and clotting postpartum. And so we want to make sure if a muscle is working, like if you think about flexing, it should be nice and tight. So we're making sure that your uterus is firm, and it should be like at your belly button and kind of going down every day. So we're making sure that that's good. So the nurse is going to rub on your belly to assess right after delivery. It's like every 15 minutes, then every 30, then every hour. And then it changes to like every 4 hours, every 8 hours, every shift, depending on like the hospital. So you're going to have kind of in and out of the room the first day, a lot more than the second day.
Now, when you talk about vitals, that's like your blood pressure.
Yeah, your blood temperature. They'll go ahead and check your pulse ox. So they put that thing on your finger. Those are like the basic assessments that they're doing depending on hospital and doctor. And as long as you're stable, every like 4 to 8 hours.
Okay. Awesome. That was incredibly helpful. I know I wish I could have heard that going in, because I didn't know anything. I was just like, yeah, I have to stay at the hospital and I don't know what happens.
Yeah.
So in addition to that, I know we're going to, spoiler alert, listeners, we will have a second episode with Jessica on all the tests that they do on baby. But within those 3 days, like, so not only are they checking on you, but they are also running several tests on baby, correct?
For sure. You guys are both your separate patients. So mom will have her doctor, baby will have their doctor, and you have routine things that are done for both of you guys. So it kind of feels like a lot going on at times because you just got checked on, now baby's getting checked on. So it is routine things that we do for basically everybody, but some people need a little bit more being watched over and some people need a little less.
Okay. Gotcha. Now you did share a little bit about what we can expect physically, like with bleeding. Is there anything else we can expect physically and also emotionally in those first, like literally the first 72 hours postpartum?
So right after delivery, some people get really shaky, and that's an unexpected thing. Well, those like hormones, adrenaline, some people get really shaky like right after they have their baby. And that can be whether it's a C-section or a vaginal delivery. Some women even get nauseous right after delivery, and it's just a huge shift happening right away. So those can be normal things. Some women will start to experience sweats, like night sweats, especially pretty early. I always say, do not have your favorite sheets on your bed at home, because you may get blood on it and you may get really sweaty. So save your favorite sheets for a little bit. You will definitely need like a fan and ice water by your bed because it comes out of nowhere. People talk about like postpartum blues and the postpartum like tears and things that happen, but I don't think that we're really like aware of it until it happens to us. Mm-hmm. I worked mother baby, I think, for like 5 years before I had my daughter. And I'm like, yeah, like emotions, you're going to have them. They're going to be all over the place. It was not until I had her that I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like a different person. My hormones are like all over the place. I was not a crier before, and I would like get so emotional, and it can be emotional. Like, I'm overwhelmed emotions. It can be like, oh my God, I love her so much and I'm crying. It can be all kinds of different emotions, and all of them are normal and valid, and it's okay. It's just a time, and you will get past it, but it feels a little wonky that you're having all of these crazy emotions out of nowhere.
Yeah.
The biggest thing is, as long as you don't have like thoughts of harming yourself, thoughts of harming baby, you're not having a hard time with day-to-day things, then it's kind of a normal thing. And that should subside within like 2 weeks.
Okay. I'm glad that you talked about like what we can expect specifically emotionally too. I think, yeah, I remember just holding Mila in the hospital and I'm just like sobbing really for no reason. And then I also remember like my postpartum nurse just made a comment on like, oh, your husband is so sweet. Like he's, you know, like, it's so great to see a dad being so hands-on. And again, I'm just like sobbing. I'm like, I love him so much.
If you feel alone inside the hospital doing that, let me tell you, your nurse is going into another room and that same person is crying as well. So you are not alone. It's especially the second night, I will say, is when sleep deprivation hits. The second stuff is sometimes, which we're getting to in the baby episode, the second night babies wake up and they are little spitfires sometimes. They cluster feed like crazy and exhaustion sits in. Your hormones, like there's a lot of tears on the second night for a lot of people. I want you to know that's normal and that it's okay if you have to tell your support person, like, I need, you know, an hour of sleep, just walk in the room and hold the baby because I feel like I'm losing it. Those are normal kind of points to hit.
Okay. So helpful. I want to tell you today about something that I wish I would have known about while I was breastfeeding, because this would have been a big game changer for me. Praise God, I know about them this time around for baby number two. Boobie Juice. They freeze dry your own breast milk into shelf stable powder so that you can take it on the go with their compact travel pouches, and you can cost effectively back up your stash with their at home scoop and serve bulk saver pouches. Boobie Juice is a CGMP certified breast milk processing facility located in Tempe, Arizona, but you can ship your breast milk in if you're not local. They specialize in helping families on the move to safely transport and preserve all of mom's liquid gold breast milk. You have high lipase breast milk? Did you know freeze drying your breast milk is an effective way to stop lipase breast down, and it helps with the taste and aroma of high lipase milk? Boobie Juice can help with your high lipase milk too. You can ship to Booby Juice using one of their frozen breast milk shipping kits, which is everything you need to safely ship them your frozen breast milk or schedule a local drop-off if you live near Tempe, Arizona. Booby Juice knows how committed breastfeeding moms are with providing the best nutrition for their baby. They now offer pumping moms a way to get their stash out of the freezer and put it to work. Booby Juice freeze-dried breast milk offers a convenient way to make bottles on the go and with the added benefit of fortifying baby snacks and foods with your very own breast milk powder. Imagine that, incorporating all of your milk's macronutrition into every bite of baby's first foods. Check them out on Instagram at ILoveBoobyJuice and visit their website at boobyjuice.com. Use code LTM15, that's all caps, stands for learning to mom, so LTM, and then the number is 15, for 15% off your first order. As always, the link is in the episode show notes for your convenience. Now, how can recovery look different if you have a C-section versus a vaginal delivery?
Yeah, we're first, I guess, talking about like with a vaginal delivery. Some women tear or have to be cut during a vaginal delivery. Cuts don't really happen that often anymore. It is really only used if, like, it's an emergency and we need to hurry up and get baby out. They may do what they call an episiotomy, which is cutting that area near your vagina to make the opening a little bigger. But you may end up having a tear, and it can be anywhere from a first degree tear, which is the smallest tear, to a fourth degree tear, which is having a tear all the way from your vagina to your anus. A lot of people call it like a vaginal C-section because it is not pleasant. So hopefully you don't have a tear like that. But even if you don't have a tear, a lot of women are still swollen down there. Ice packs for the first 24 to 48 hours are really helpful for vaginal swelling. Some women don't really care for ice packs, so they do like ice packs one time and a regular pad the next time or something like that to help with that swelling. Even if you didn't tear, you may feel swollen. Like you get up and you're like, holy smokes, there's like a ball between my legs. It feels like I'm so swollen. And that can be normal for you. Some women tear or swell really bad and some don't. So it could be normal for you.
Okay.
Even if you don't have a tear, you may have what they call like skid marks. Rug burn's the best way I know to describe it. And that sounds really awful down there. So you may still have pain even if you don't tear is the whole point of that. Some women are like, why didn't I have any tearing? They didn't have to do stitches. Like, why am I so swollen down there? A lot just happened down there, even if
you haven't teared.
The parity that they give you to rinse off after you go pee, you can use that while you're peeing. And a lot of women find it soothing to have like warm water and kind of rinse off whenever they go to the restroom. And that can be really helpful. Some women after vaginal delivery have initially some stinging pain whenever they go to the bathroom, whenever they pee, but it shouldn't continue. And if you take the peri bottle and squirt as you're peeing, it can really help with that. So that's kind of those down there. Every hospital has kind of different stuff. Like you may see different foams that you can put on your pad to kind of help. They may have sprays. They may have like witch hazel pads, which are little circle pads that you can put on either ice pads or regular pads. So different creams, like different hospitals have different stuff. So if your nurse, like postpartum, you're having a lot of pain down there and they're not bringing you in anything, you can ask because some of it is only upon request. So if they didn't like hook you up, be like, hey, I'm having a lot of pain down here. Is there anything that you can give me? And then that will prompt them to bring in some of those supplies. Because sometimes we say, no, I'm fine. Are you having any pain? No, I think I'm okay. And so we don't bring you in anything because it's only... So make sure if you're having those like discomforts down there that you're like, what can you give me to hook me up? Like,
yeah,
works for me. So those can be normal vaginal stuff. And then for a C-section, you of course have your incision from being cut. And so C-sections right after delivery sometimes get really nauseous, really sleepy, or really itchy, which is all from the medicine they give you in the OR. So you may have that for the first like 24 hours. The itchiness really drives people crazy, but it takes about 24 hours for everything they give you in the OR to get out of your system. Ice packs can help. Like a cold rag can really help where you're feeling itchy. They can give you medicine, but sometimes it makes you more sleepy. But those are normal things for a C-section. With your incision, you usually have a dressing over it. Some doctors have it open to air, so it's not covered. So I would just check with your doctor about like what to do for your incision, because they may have special things. But most of the time, they have you just clean with like soap and water and just rinse and nothing else to it. C-sections, I suggest an abdominal binder for everybody, but C-sections especially to hold your stomach that just got cut open. And that's just...
So, yeah, what is that?
It's just a binder that goes around your stomach and helps like support you. It's not like a girdle, but a lot of people, when they think of it, that's not what they think of. Like, is a binder that goes around your stomach that helps support you. So with a C-section, that can be normal to use, because the getting up and getting down for a C-section is really painful. But usually once you're up, it's good. And once you're down, it's you're fine as well. So those are kind of those normal things that will be happening for a vaginal delivery and a C-section. But we're really going to be monitoring both of you guys' blood postpartum, because even a C-section has vaginal bleeding. Sometimes people are really shocked with that. They're like, why am I having bleeding when I didn't have a vaginal delivery? But uterus still, you know, didn't shed during pregnancy. It still had the placenta that was attached to the wall of your uterus. So all of that is still going to bleed regardless of how you. It sounds really bad, but in the OR, they kind of like scoop out some of that of your uterus, so you don't bleed as much typically.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask. I was like, is it the same level? Okay. So it is less, but it still happens. So be prepared, because it, question then, like, when is the bleeding so much that you're like, this is not normal and I need to be seen?
Yeah. So whenever you are bleeding through a pad an hour. So the pads that they give you, if you think about a regular, like bigger pad, not like a panty liner, but a bigger pad, if you are bleeding through one of those in an hour, then that's too much bleeding. And if you are going from really light bleeding, because as you go on postpartum, your bleeding will lessen and lessen. So let's say 2 weeks you go home and your bleeding is like almost none. It's really non-existent, and you start bleeding a ton. That's like, get to the emergency room. If you have a lot of bleeding inside the hospital, I would save the pad and like let your nurse know, hey, I just went through this whole pad in like 45 minutes. And then that will prompt them to go ahead and assess your uterus and make sure everything looks good. Okay. I will say, ice pad on, like for a vaginal delivery, if you have an ice pad on, sometimes the ice doesn't absorb as well. So it looks like more bleeding than it is. So just double check if you're concerned. I promise much rather it be like the mom who, hey, Jessica, can you check my pad again? Than me being like, yeah, they're fine in there. They, you know, I assessed them and their bleeding was hardly any. And now they're like having a hemorrhage and I don't know about it, because nobody, you know, they didn't tell me because they didn't want to bother me. I much rather be like, gosh, I got to harass her again. Than me to be like, yeah, they're fine, and you not be fine. Also, start having clots bigger than a golf ball size. So little strings of clots are going to be normal to sometimes have. But if you start having clots bigger than like a golf ball size that's coming from your vagina, then we would want to know about that, because that's also concerning.
Dang. Okay. That's incredibly good to know. Kind of going back to C-section recovery in those first 48, 72 hours is, I mean, so I didn't have a C-section. So I'm thinking though, you just had a major surgery.
Yeah.
And I heard you at the beginning speaking about the importance of like movement. So is that the same? Because I just remember when I had knee surgery and I was not moving.
Yeah. So funny. They talk about like a C-section is the only major abdominal surgery that now you're expected to care for a baby and be up and moving at the same time. It's a lot. So typically you get up after your C-section about 6-8 hours is kind of like the earliest, to 12 hours is kind of the latest after having a C-section. So that's how early we want you up and moving. As much as it sucks getting up, getting down, once you're up and moving, it is better. But moving is super important for you after surgery because it lets your body know that it's okay. And so, like, sometimes C-section moms will have less urine output because their body holds on to that urine. I'm not getting rid of anything until I know I'm okay. I just lost blood in the OR. Like, I'm not getting rid of any fluids. So it will refuse sometimes to make urine because it's like I'm holding on to every little bit I got till I know I'm okay. Let your body know, hey, I'm okay. We can start making urine and get rid of, you know, any extra fluids that I got in the OR. And that really prompts your body. Everyone's at risk for blood clots postpartum. And so getting up and moving helps prevent blood clots. And that can be in your legs. That can be even blood clots going to your lungs. And so we really want to we're up and moving to help prevent that. And then sometimes you get really swollen in your legs after a C-section because they give you a bunch of fluid, and getting up and moving helps with that. They want you to do at least like 3 walks a day. So get up in your room, walk around, go in the hallway about 3 times a day is at least what we're looking for to kind of like give you an ideal. And sometimes cabin fever sits in and it is nice to like get up and walk around in the hallways. And so you can go on a stroll in the hallway with your baby and your spouse with baby in the bassinet and kind of get out of the room.
Okay. Love that. All right. One of the questions that I had for you, Jessica, is, well, and I think that you're the perfect person to speak on this because you are a traveling nurse. So how do postpartum stays differ perhaps across hospitals?
Yeah. So there's kind of 2 big hospital setups. One hospital setup is what they call an LDRP. It's labor, delivery, recovery, postpartum. You are in the same labor and delivery room the entire time you're there. It turns postpartum room. This is usually like smaller hospitals have this. Staffing wise, you have the same nurse the whole time usually.
Wow. Okay.
So it's kind of like focused because they don't need to shift and move patients around like in a funnel, if you will. They can all stay right there because they don't have that extra volume. So you may be in the same room the whole time, depending on the hospital. Other ways, your recovery may look different in another hospital as you go to postpartum 2 hours postpartum. You may have one nurse who does what I do. They take care of moms and babies. You may have 2 separate nurses. So now you have people coming in twice as much. And you may have techs who come in and do vitals. So you may end up having like 3 sets of people coming in the room, depending on your hospital. It also differs if your provider and the hospital policies. So some providers are very conservative and they really want to keep a close eye on you. And they get really excited about things. And so they may be overly proactive about things. So that may mean that like you have a provider who wants assessments and vitals more often. That may be that you want a provider who's doing lab work the next morning on all moms, whether it was a healthy vaginal delivery or a C-section. That may be like them wanting to keep you longer. So it kind of depends. And then you also have the other end of the spectrum of providers who are kind of laid back and don't get excited. Mm-hmm. So they may not want you to be seen as often. They may be okay with you going home after like 24 hours if you are a healthy vaginal delivery, or even a C-section if you're fine. Other doctors want to keep you longer and want to watch you longer because that's their comfort level. And so that's kind of the difference that you will see. And it'll even go as far as like policies of after you have a delivery, like we want to measure your urine for 24 hours, or we want to measure your urine for 2 times after a delivery, or whatever it is. Even simple little things like that, like changes hospital to hospital and like doctor to doctor sometimes.
Okay. Interesting. Now, kind of similar question then, what are the rooms like? And I know that depends on the hospital, which is why you're perfect to answer this.
So most hospitals now in the United States are single rooms. Thank goodness. I feel like
now it's not like the Friends episode.
Yeah. Where Rachel has like more than one person in there. Yeah, it's not like that. I feel like now I'm starting to get old in nursing, because when I first started nursing, the first hospital I was at, we did have shared postpartum rooms.
Whoa. Can you imagine? It's hard enough to sleep with all the people coming in for you. Then you have that other baby that's also crying.
Yeah, who's probably waking up you and your baby? Yeah.
Yeah.
Most hospitals now are single rooms, thank goodness. So that's a really big plus in things. Most of them are pretty spacious. Like, older hospitals are being renovated to where you do have a little bit more room in your postpartum. That being said, some of them are like what I envision a New York apartment being like. They are super crammed, really small. You barely have enough room and plug-ins for everything. Some of them are really little, and some of them even have like an adjacent like living space for you. So it really depends on the hospital setup, what that looks like. Some hospitals are what they call rooming in hospitals or baby friendly hospitals, to where the baby stays with you the whole time. They don't have a nursery for you to like send baby off to. Other hospitals are, they do have that, and they very much encourage parents to use it and even suggest like taking baby out of the room for everything. But you, as a parent, you have a say on that if the hospital does have a nursery. So those are kind of like how the hospital rooms can be set up. Hospital to hospital, most of them have like the little bassinets that stay with you for your baby to be in. Some of them even attached to the bed, like they're really fancy.
Oh, that's cool. I wish my hospital had that. That's so sweet.
And so that's kind of like what you will see hospital to hospital and like the room
Okay.
set.
What about a couch or a chair for dad?
Yeah. Most of them have a rocking chair or a regular chair. And then they also have a fancy bed chair. It is not fancy. It's a chair that pulls out into a bed. Some of them are small, like smaller than a twin size bed. And some of them are like a full size bed couch that turns into a bed. So it kind of depends.
Dang.
Not super comfortable. Like, I'll let you know, they're not super comfortable. Sometimes I have dads complain about it, and I'm like, you know, unless you just pushed out a baby, you don't really get a say. But on things, but they're not super comfortable. So I would make sure you're bringing your own pillows and getting comfy inside the hospital, because you're gonna be there for a little bit.
Okay, awesome. Interrupting myself to tell you about one of the biggest things that I'm doing differently this pregnancy, because as your mom friend, I don't want you to make the same mistakes that I did. Please learn from me. This time around, I am focusing on strength training and exercise. Last pregnancy, really all I did was go on walks, which was fine, and I'm glad I was doing something, but I'm really glad that I've been focusing on strength building this time around to prepare my body for labor and an easier postpartum recovery. I've been working out using the prenatal fitness programs by Fit Mama in 30. The name comes from all of the workouts being under 30 minutes, but really they're like under 25. I was a collegiate athlete, and not that I'm the fittest person in the world, but before finding them, I really struggled finding a program that was challenging enough to be worth my time and money. I really like how these workouts are the perfect balance between actually getting a workout in and not feeling like I overdid it. The biggest reason that I personally love these workouts so much, and will continue to talk about it, is that they are pre-recorded workouts, so you can do them on your own time. But the instructors, it's Carrie and Bailey, actually working out with you. So while the workout is going on, they're giving form and breathing technique corrections so you can stay safe during pregnancy. I love their workouts so much that I actually reached out to them to get a code for you. I have the biggest discount that they offer. Like, you literally won't find a greater discount. Use code LearningToMom for $20 off their annual membership. That's LearningToMom, all caps, all one word. The annual membership is already much more cost effective than going with their monthly plan, but it also lets you easily roll into their postpartum workouts, which I 100% plan on doing. So go check out Fit Mama in 30 and use code LearningToMom, all caps, all one word, on their annual membership for an additional $20 off. The link is in the episode show notes for your convenience. Now let's chat about what you eat. I guess like hospital cafeteria, give just Talk about food.
So right after a vaginal delivery, you can eat right away. So that can be, if it's in the middle of the night, they usually only have like snack sandwiches inside the refrigerator. They do not have anything fancy. It's like your typical Jell-O pudding crackers that they have on hand. Like a lot of times it's not anything fancy, popsicles, like very basic things. So I really suggest bringing snacks to the hospital that you can easily get to, whether that's like different bars or chips or whatever kind of food you like, because if you deliver in the middle of the night and there's nothing open, you're probably hungry and want to eat.
Yeah.
Typically, all hospitals, you can have food delivered or someone can bring you in food. So if you want to do that, hospitals typically do like the three meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Some of them are really like good looking food, and some of them are what you would typically think about with a hospital.
Okay.
Most hospitals do like a celebration meal or like what they call a birthday meal or congratulations or some kind of like fancy meal that you and your spouse get, sometimes just you, right after delivery, and you can have it like the next day. And usually it's just like a nicer meal that you guys can have. Most hospitals, though, for the spouse, they have to either go down to the cafeteria or bring food in to eat. They usually don't supply like a meal for them. Even if you're like, hey, I'll pay, can you bring up something? They won't do that. So that's really important to know, because sometimes they don't think about it. I've worked at hospitals as a heads up to people who only take cash in their cafeteria. Huh. Yeah, you wouldn't think that, but there's still hospitals that only take cash inside of the hospital. So I would just have like a little cash on you for the support person, whether that's for vending machines or for the cafeteria. Either one is okay. Then for a C-section, usually you can eat 6 hours after delivery.
Oh my gosh, I did not know that it was, I thought you could eat right away. Oh my gosh, yeah. These poor women.
Sometimes after a C-section, you're really nauseous and you can't hold anything down. So you start very light with like ice, Jell-O, crackers. And then once you can take those things, then you can move on to whatever you want. I have worked at some hospitals that the doctors are really old school and don't want moms to eat until they start passing gas, which is a really old school thing to do. But some of them are really insistent of that. You can honestly eat whatever you want. They can't tell you not to eat. Like, it may be hospital policy, but you still have rights as a patient and can eat. I would just say for C-sections especially, take it slow. Like, throw-up bags are a must in all my C-section rooms because it is very common to throw up after a C-section. So just take it slow if you have a C-section. And if you do throw up, kind of splint your stomach, like hold your incision either with your hands or with a pillow.
Oh my gosh, I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Women are freaking superheroes. My gosh. Okay.
So make sure that you are like eating and drinking plenty. If you're breastfeeding especially, you actually burn more calories breastfeeding than you do being pregnant. So like really nurture your body and eat good for you food. They used to say how like you couldn't have things like broccoli or beans that would make you gassy because it'll make the baby gassy. But that's kind of like an old wives tale now, or like spicy food. The things about babies is you won't know they don't like something until you know they don't like it. So there may be foods that you can't eat, but you won't know until your baby tells you if they don't like it. But basically anything you want to eat is free game. Nourish your body. Stay very hydrated. Things that are like high in fiber, they say, is good for your bowels to like have a good bowel movement. But most women don't really need that.
Okay. That's good to know. Now, a question that I really did want to chat with you about is kind of just the pros and cons of letting in visitors to your postpartum room or not. What is your opinion? I'm very opinionated on this, actually. I want to know what your opinion is as a professional.
So it really depends on like you as a person. I think it's in expectations being realistic. You have to remember, there's tons of people coming in your room. Your baby is up eating like crazy. Exhaustion is a real thing. Sometimes right after delivery, you're on like a postpartum high and it's hard to sleep. So then later on, when you are able to sleep, it's really hard when you have visitors coming in and out of the room. So I think this is a good conversation to have with your support person, whether that's your spouse, your friend, your mom, whoever is going to be the main person supporting you in the hospital, of what do you want? What do you envision this looking like? And know that it's okay for that to change, because as much as people like the ideal of someone coming in and visiting with them and their baby right after delivery, I will say from working with like hundreds of women, that is not the norm. Most women don't like that and actually find it exhausting. I see it happen over and over again where they have this revolving door of like visitors coming in and everyone coming in to see them and the baby, and they're exhausted. It's like, I just got the baby latched, or we just went to sleep. And so if you have people, like they say, it takes a village, right? But most people don't have a true village. They don't have people who come in and they are helpful. They're actually like a helping hand. They're more of just like an observer and not helpful. So if you have people that are really helpful, maybe your mom is really helpful and she would be great to like come and let your husband like go home and shower or something. If that would be helpful to you, then that's one thing. But if you have, you know, your mom who is really anxious and asks 100 questions, is all up in your business and is over the top, and that would be stressful to you, you're allowed to say, you know, actually, we're not going to have visitors in the hospital. You can lie and say like the visitation policy is that they don't have visitors. I've had moms who I could tell it was a lot. And I'm like, hey, like why I help her to the bathroom or something. Do you want me to have like people step out? Like we're even sometimes come up with a code word. Like I'll ask you if you want a popsicle. And if you tell me yes, then I know that means you want people out of the room. Or like we're come up with like different codes. Your nurse is okay being like the bad guy and being like, okay, I'm going to need everyone to get out of the room. We got to do this, or, you know, whatever, and be that. I will say most people find it exhausting to have visitors, and they don't think that they, that's the thing. Like most of the time you don't think that you will.
Yeah. We chose not to have visitors at all. Like during delivery, it was just me and my husband. And then in postpartum, it was just me and my husband and my baby. And that was, we were visiting and like touring the hospital, whatever. And we met with the nurse navigators, the role at the hospital that they call it. And the nurse was saying, you know, like we just lifted our like visitor ban, so it's up to you. And but she said, in my opinion, the women who didn't, so like the women who didn't have visitors because of COVID, they have left so much more, they have left with just having been more restful, I guess, having more like rest. She's like, you can just tell, like they, it, honestly, their postpartum experience has been a lot better than the women who have been like allowing visitors, and that sold it for me. And I was like, great. So then, yeah, we didn't have anybody. And I also didn't, I mean, you were like topless for the first basically 2 weeks, especially those first 48, 72 hours. Like, well, I was breastfeeding, so I was topless basically.
Yeah. And I think sometimes we don't want to make other people feel bad, you know, like
100%.
You don't want to make them feel bad. And so if anybody listening to this, they need like someone to say it's okay. It's okay to say no to visitors. Like you don't owe anyone visitation time. You don't owe them a picture. You don't owe them a phone call. Like your main job is taking care of you and your baby, especially if you're breastfeeding. You know, with that, you have to be able to be exposed a lot during those first couple weeks. You're figuring it out, and you having that time to be able to breastfeed your baby is more important to your baby than your visitors. And that's like your main job now, is what's best for me and my baby. And what's best for you and your baby may not be your father-in-law visiting every day. You know, it may be like you have a really great support person and that is helpful, but it, if it's not for you, then that's okay to say no.
Yeah, I agree. So there you have it. If you are thinking about having visitors, Jessica and I both say maybe think twice, but also no judgment if that's what you want. That's not what I wanted. So I am all about like Do not try to, do not people please. This is not the time to be people
pleasing. No, yeah, no people pleasing. You, like, they say not only was a baby born, like a mother was born, you have a lot going on. Your baby has a lot going on. Like, you don't have to worry about entertaining anyone if that's not what your desire is.
Yeah. I love that expression. A mother was born. That's the first time I heard that. I love that. One of my last questions that I have for you is regarding like packing for the hospital. What kind of things do you need to bring in your hospital bag to make your postpartum stay a better experience?
Yeah. Think about like going to a hotel, what you need. Like you need your toiletries, your toothbrush, your like overnight stuff, all your supplies, all your support person supplies. Most hospitals supply 98% of what you need, diapers, wipes, pads, all the things for you, right? But saying that, some hospitals run out of things. Sometimes you have things that you prefer, and that's okay. And so just think about being comfy, like a comfy robe. You want shoes that are comfortable. You want lots of snacks, water, all of those things. Really think about what would you take overnight at a hotel. And then take all of that. Typically, anything left over in the hospital room, you can take home with you. So any extra pads, diapers, things like that, we don't reuse disposable things. Things like the blankets, the pillows, like stuff like that, you have to keep there. But anything else is kind of free game.
Yeah, I was stuffing my bag. And I was like asking, I was like, can I have more of these? Can I have more? And then, yeah, I just like stuffed my bag.
Yeah.
So my hospital was great at hooking me up before I went home, but we also didn't have a cafeteria. We had two restaurants that were like kind of, I don't know, this is rude to say, but it was like, you know, $17 for like a teeny tiny sandwich that wasn't good. And so we just Uber Eat it everything.
Yeah. Uber Eats is amazing for the hospital. Yeah. If you decide to have visitors, they are only allowed to come if they bring you food.
Oh, that's a good rule. That's a good rule. I like it. Awesome.
First two, you are allowed to come if you bring food, and we got to designated what we wanted.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good tip. All right. Well, this was incredibly helpful. My last question is just, how can people find you?
Yeah. So my username everywhere is Mother Baby Nurse Jessica. My name's Jessica and I'm a mother baby nurse. So Mother Baby Nurse Jessica. I'm on Instagram, TikTok. I have a YouTube that I don't post as often to, but Instagram and TikTok are the two big ones that you can find me at.
All right, mom friend, that was all that I have for you this week. Don't forget to sign up for the newsletter to feel more empowered and informed for pregnancy and motherhood. Do so by either heading to the show notes below or by going to learningtomompodcast.com and clicking on the newsletter tab at the top of the website. I'll catch you next week right here.